Welcome back to part two with Serge Powles, a man that needs no intro. Here we go.
Speaking and then kind of shifting more towards the races, we had touched on, you know, the benefits of being on all these different teams, a lot of different experiences. Is there an experience or a race that you're most proud of that, you know, you've been in 13 Grand Tours, you've won Tour de Yorkshire, you've been in the Olympics, you had an amazing result on Mount Ventoux. I don't know. It's like for someone at where I am as an amateur cyclist, we're just like, holy cow, this guy has done so many incredible things. What's really important to you that you look back and it just sort of like, it hits you like, man, that was an amazing week or day or race or experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, of course, the Olympics is something really special because, I mean, not many riders can say they've done the Olympics, and I was the roommate of the Olympian champion, so we won it, you know, as Belgium, or at least Craig won it, but it's still a team sport, let's say, so it was pretty special. And then, of course, I think the whole Tour de France in 2015 also was a special time because we got this wild card as MTN Quebeca Africa's team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, nobody was really thinking about us. But yeah, we did pretty well. I raced well myself, and I was almost in every breakaway in the mountains, and it was just a fantastic time. We had no pressure to perform, but we did so well. And Steve Cummings won a stage on Mandela Day that year. And yeah, I just that whole Tour de France, that is a really, really nice, it was a really nice time.
They touched on that in the film that they put together on the squad, didn't they? I remember watching that. I've seen a bunch of sometimes the different cycling movies, like the behind the scenes stuff that you see now blend together. But I remember watching that, and it was a really cool chronicling of that team and what you guys went through. And just like you said, they're kind of like, yeah, nobody's thinking about us. And then you guys came out just hitting some of the stages, like, oh, these guys are here to race apparently and win.
Yeah, awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about mindset? You know, it's kind of a topic that comes up more. Obviously, you're racing at the highest level of the world. How much did credit or did you think about mindset going into these big races? Was it second nature? It's like, oh, I'm just showing up to race, or were you like mentally preparing in any specific way to go race for 3 weeks, let's say, at the tour?
Yes, very good question. And I rate it more and more over the last couple of years, and even now, as in my job as a development coach, I just invited a friend of mine who is actually who did a group session with the under 23 riders about this, because the last thing we want is that they live their careers as, you know, just, oh, I can ride my bike pretty good and I will see, and we go to this race and then we go to the next race and we will see, and we just, you know, we just riding because we want to have them thinking about the fact that they only have one career and that they should make the most out of it. And what I think is super important on top of all the scientific training and nutrition and whatever you can do, is to have a really positive vibe in every day that you train and race, because that is actually what you see with the riders that are still performing at the highest level, like Valverde or Mathieu van der Poel, these guys, or Alaphilippe or whoever, Greg van Avermaet. These guys, they just love riding their bikes. They enjoy what they're doing. I think that is still so important to really realize how much you love your sport, and you know, to have this positive vibe every day of the year, because you can go to altitude and be miserable because you're not allowed to eat too many carbohydrates, so you have to train low carb from your training. You feel like you feel miserable, and I mean that is not a positive vibe. You know, you want to be really enjoying what you're doing, and be proud of the fact that you're a professional cyclist. Enjoy every day, and I think that mindset is so important when you go out and race.
That's really interesting. So, I guess said differently, would you say that you would have a ride or say, I don't know if you believe in like fasted riding or, you mentioned low carb riding. If it is not jiving well with a cyclist, would you say, you know what? Forget that. Like you're clearly irritated by it. Like don't worry about the physiological benefit of that. Like it's just not for you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Because you know, you have your physiological engine, but also your mental engine, let's say, and
Totally.
they work together, and that it's
Yes.
never one or the other. And I mean, if you're feeling good, you're gonna be riding good. If you ride good, you will feel better, and it always goes together. And as I said, if you have to go on altitude to for the physiological benefits, but you're not feeling well, the weather is bad up there, you feel lonely because you're there on your own, and then the same with the low carb. You're doing the low carb for the physiological benefits, but you feel miserable. And I mean, that is not, you gotta be smiling every day for it, because you enjoy riding your bike. That is so important. On top of every scientific or whatever, tool that is gonna help you in performing.
It's making me smile just because I love the science side of things, but I think sometimes now everyone's pulling out one study and it's like, oh, this is what everybody's got to do now and everything else is wrong. And then a month later, there's another study. And I'm like, ah, man, there's a lot of studies out there and you can't do everything. Like, are you happy? Do you still enjoy riding the bike? Like, I think simpler at times, especially now with the internet and just like, I mean, I'm out there saying stuff, but I don't know. I just think it's so easy to get caught up in trying to do every little optimization and you then just tire yourself out. So it's
Yeah.
really interesting
No,
to hear you
I
say
agree,
that.
and I agree. And in the end, it's also important to keep it simple, in a way. In the end, it's a lot of coaches, they make it really complicated as well. So, and now I'm, for example, I don't have the time anymore that I had before to ride my bike, but I still ride my bike quite a lot, maybe half the time I had before. And I just do, I just ride, as I said, the more you can ride, the better, let's say, for the volume. And then once a week, I still do intervals, 8 minute sessions. So 8 minute intervals. And I mean, it's like a super simple concept. So let's say it's polarized training. So either I just enjoy riding my bike, I don't look at anything. Of course, you sometimes look at your power meter, and but you just ride with friends or alone. And then only once a week, or every 10 days, I try and do 8 minute intervals, because I just like to do intervals. But and it's I still get a decent level this way, and it's
Totally.
I what I don't like, honestly, and or what I never like, is that riders have to go on training with a piece of paper with all the intervals they have to be doing in. And then, for example, I need to have this heart rate for 20 minutes, and it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't go along with what I was saying before, that you want to have that, positive attitudes, and not being caught up in a lot of stress because it needs to be sustainable. Cycling is all about sustainability. It's a 365 day approach, and you gotta enjoy it, man. That's the most important.
We have a joke with a couple athletes that I won't even get into the whole story, but it's just like cycling's a lifestyle. And this one guy's like, it's a lifestyle. Figure it out. Like, you gotta wade through this every day, and it's gotta be a fun process. And I try to tell everybody, when whether they're the newest cyclist or they're going for a national championship or they're a master's racer, like, if you're getting on the bike and it's not fun, we are totally screwing this thing up. And
yeah,
it's I think sometimes I heard a coach one time say, well, I have to make the workouts, like, you know, not confusing, but pretty detailed, because I don't want someone to get bored. And I was like, well, to be honest with you, as an athlete, I like the easier days because the hard days are hard. And I'm happy when I'm like, oh, zone two, thank God. Like, I just got to go ride my bike and consistently pedal. And then, you know, it's just, it's interesting. But, dude, you're saying a lot of good things that make me feel good about my own training that I'm doing. What's did you have any good, looking back, and maybe things that you try to transfer to the younger athletes that you're mentoring, any good or bad habits that had an effect on your training or racing?
So one of the things I teach them or try and teach them is the things I've just been saying. So yeah, sustainability, enjoying being an athlete, because it's really important to enjoy it while you're an athlete, and not after your career when you feel like, oh, maybe I should have done this or I could have done this. What else?
Can I ask you a question? Did you feel, is that maybe hindsight wisdom looking back? Because as you were the athlete, like, do you get a little nervous about, like, hey, am I getting my next contract next year? What's happening with this team? Like, were you able to have the mindset of enjoying that process? Or did you ever catch yourself being like, I'm thinking about this too much like a job? Like, granted, it was your job, but I mean.
No, in the beginning of my career, maybe yes. Or let's say in the first half, maybe. Mm-hmm. In the latter part, I was enjoying it more, I would say. But it took some time, and I teach them, or I try and teach this to them, because I've made a mistake myself to be always overthinking things, you know, and always trying to improve myself. And it's a fine balance, because what I also want to teach them is to take ownership of their career, because and what I mean is that, of course, you're going to be working with a lot of professional people around you, like your coach and your director and your soigneur, and you're going to hear a lot of stuff, and as you mentioned before, you have this study and then this guy said this thing and the other one says. But it's super important to know where you're going to, or where you want to go to, and you know, to take the decisions for yourself to navigate in the right direction, and that is, I think, what I really try and teach them, is that they have to in the end decide and make the call what is good for them, and a lot has to do with self-knowledge, you know, and that is something you have to learn through the years, knowing what is good for me, take notes, fill in your training peaks as detailed as you can, take notes of your weight, your food, whatever, you know, it doesn't need to be crazy, but you're gonna have a time, there's gonna come a time where you feel not so great. I mean, when you're going well, it's not a problem, and you're riding good, and you know, you feel like nobody or nothing can touch you. But then, of course, everybody has this time where it's not going as how you would like to, and then that is gonna help you, you know, the all the notes and yeah,
it's gonna finding those threads, like the big picture, seeing, I don't know what to call it exactly, but like that flow. And I think it's, you
Yeah.
know, I look back when I first started, we were using Golden Cheetah, and I was like emailing files to my coach. And I wish that I had, you know, I have like an Excel sheet still. It's like 2008, I got dropped, and this is what blah 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 blah. So it's really funny to look back on, but I think now it's like, it's for someone who's just starting, I tell people, hey, if you don't have a free account, whatever you're using for your own self-coaching, like put your files in here, take a couple notes down, and even like go into the title of the workout and put like lifetime PR or felt amazing. Like it's so hard to force yourself to do that. Like you said, when you're humming along and you're crushing it, you're like, I feel great. Well, remember that so you can look back and be like, oh, you know, I was doing some high torque like 4 weeks before that. Maybe that had something to do with it, or maybe it was the da da da. So,
Exactly. And
yeah.
I still had times in my career, because I wrote everything down in a little agenda, let's say, you know. So what I trained, of course, I had my training peaks also, but like the notes for myself, I wrote them in an agenda. And I had times when I was at the race and I called my wife and I was like, can you make a picture of beginning of April 2016 in my agenda, because I want to see what I was, you know, like something like that, you know.
Yeah, I
Because I
love that.
remember when, you know, you don't realize when you're going good, you sometimes don't realize why you're going good, you know. It just comes and you think it's normal, and then afterwards when you feel a bit worse, then you're like, you're trying to get to that same level, and you're like in a forced way, let's say, and you need all these notes and as a backbone, let's say.
I just had a comment with somebody, and I always tell people, like, as the athlete, it's really, we're all in there doing the workouts. It's hard for us to see the big picture. We're like staring at the trees, we're looking at the next workout. An athlete this morning was just like coming off a rest week, so she felt a little stale, and she's like, I don't know if I should race. Maybe I just need some more volume. I feel like I haven't done that in a while. And I was like, hey, April 12th, that was your second biggest week in the past 3 months, and the week before that was not tiny. And it's so easy for us when we go through a rest week. We're like, I haven't been training. Like, I need to get back at it. And it's to take that zoomed out view. And it's funny that you talking about taking the pictures. I've started going back to handwritten notes. I like Excel and I like the Training Peaks, but there is something that's missing from like physically writing. And so now I'm trying to think of like maybe I'll do a daily training diary again. But my fear is that I'll like lose it or something. So I'm like, maybe I'll stay digital. What so, you know, I was going to ask you a little bit about the development guys that you're coaching. You've hit on a lot of good things for that. Not trying to take too much of your time, maybe 10 more minutes if you're free, just to talk about nutrition and sort of the evolution of nutrition, as now you know you'll hear you have to have maltodextrin and fructose or two carb transport systems to maximize your carbohydrate absorption. You know, there's a lot of we talked on like low carb training. What has sort of come about maybe in the past 5 years that you think is really important for athletes to hear about in terms of nutrition?
Well, there was a time, I think around 2010, when there was a lot of, I would call them like low carb gurus or whatever they, but that was like a hype of eating more fat, and maybe there was something about it, but in the end, I mean, you cannot be a pro cyclist if you're not eating your carbs, or if you're not eating huge amount of carbs. And if you, I think, if you're trying to keep up with the training and the racing with not enough carbohydrates, I think you're not gonna make it. You know, it's something I learned also, and I don't know, maybe it works for other people, but for me, not really. And there was a time where there was this fear of carbohydrates, or carbs were the enemy. Like, of course, not the enemy, but, and that was just It's actually just stupid that it could even happen, you know.
I love that this is showing you so much like distress talking about this, because people laugh at us. We are very pro carb. I preach carbohydrates.
Yeah,
you know, there are high level Cat 1-2 athletes in the U.S. and I'm like, I tell these guys, I'm like, listen, eat more carbs on your training ride, and they'll be going out and they're eating like 40 grams of carbs. I'm like, dude, double that. And they will text me, holy crap, I just finished a 4-hour ride. I've never felt that strong. And I'm like, dude, it's literally the fuel in your car. Like, I don't know how much more basic I can make it. And when there was an article, I don't know if it came across, if you saw it, but here in the US, it was probably I'm trying to think of when I was here, because I was in Tennessee, and it was like Team Sky, all keto, only eating fats, da da da. And I was like, there's no way that's true. And then it was, they're only training with fat, but they're going to race with carbs. And there was a handful of people here that were like, we're doing what Team Sky does. And we're like, okay, good luck with that. Like, I wish you the best. First two races came and they were nowhere to be seen. And I was like, dude, it's not possible. You can't, if you want to go ride 12 hours, maybe you can make a case for it then. But if you want to race a bike in an amateur bike race, not happening. So
if you need your fats, I mean, or if you're gonna ride on fats, then you're gonna be dropped. I mean, if you need to push 400 watts for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever you, depending on your weight, I mean, you're not gonna do that. I in a grand tour, I was basically eating, let's say, porridge in the morning with you know, something sweet like raisins or banana or honey or maple syrup or something inside. And then during the races, if I wanted to be in the breakaway, or if it was a heavy day, I had that that bottle. I think it's called Beta Fuel, but you also have it from other brands, you know, the mixture with, like you said, the glucose and fructose, 80 grams of carbs bottle, and also the, you know, every 45 minutes a bar. So I really went as high in carbs as I could, and then after the races, in the evening, it was a lot of rice and pasta, recovery shake after the stage, and just carbs. I think every day at least 10 grams of carbs per kilogram body weight.
Okay, so you are like carb loading, which is, do you feel, I've had athletes be like, I feel kind of funny, or people get paranoid. There's those people that overweigh themselves on the scale and they're like, I'm getting really fat. I'm like, it's water. Every gram of carbs has 3 grams of water to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that there's, and from my own, I'm only my body, but I feel like when I feel that way and I'm like, if I'll step on a scale, I'm like, oh damn, I'm like super waterlogged. Mm-hmm. Within 45 minutes, it, like, I'm sweating. It seems like it comes out. My legs look more normal. Do you think it's like no big deal?
No, of course not. And in the end, your body is gonna tell you how much carbs you need, you know. And
so
it's
just
gonna
eat till you're full. You think, is that the gauge?
Yeah,
and a little more.
Although, of course, as a cyclist, on the days when you're training less, you sometimes might be still a bit hungry or burning from the days before. Or so I, on the rest days, I tried always to be a bit cautious, you know, with the food, and maybe not at night, because at night you always eat for the day after. But yeah. Really, I mean, it's too complicated to explain my whole system, but
no, that's good,
because I was really thinking a lot about nutrition. It's not as straightforward, and it's not as easy, and there's not a
perfect guide.
Yeah, exactly. There's not like a book that tells everybody how you should eat, because it's really personal.
It is. I tell people that are like, you know, maybe 2 years into serious training, they're like, I just can't get this dialed. And I'm like, dude, I'm still getting it dialed. Like, it's been, you learn, you find stuff that works, find stuff that doesn't work. You know, I've actually come across like a very weird scenario that I haven't been able to test because of COVID. I was starting to do these long gravel rides, and I was like, so we were super carbing. Like, we're like, let's just really kind of push the envelope, like eating to almost, I was like, I'm eating too much food, but I would go out and I would be stomping watts. And then the next season came. And so it was much cooler in the spring. And I was like getting to these early races. I'm like, I have to pee a lot. Like, I was pulling over, pissing, catching back up. And I was wondering, like, maybe I'm holding on to too much water that like my body can't process. And somehow it's like, instead of sweating it, I have to urinate now. And so I was telling somebody then, they're like, but you've been riding and like racing for so long. Like, why are you messing with it? I'm like, cause I think I can still get it better. Like, my body's changing. I'm not the same rider that I was 5 years ago. So it's just this evolution that you said it, there's no perfect guide. And I think now in like the culture of, we want everything now, we want the perfect answer. What is my exact this, that, and that? And I'm like, it's just not there. It's just, that's the beauty of an endurance sport. Like, you have so many variables that you're going to try and control, but you can't, you just gotta get as best as you can at some of these things. So, man, dude, this is awesome. I don't want to take up more of your time. I can't thank you enough for doing this. This was extremely, just tons of knowledge and pearls and motivation for people. I owe you a coffee or something when we cross paths on the bike. And
where are you based in? Are you based in Canada?
No, I'm. Do I sound Canadian?
No, because I saw somewhere on your, whatever what it was, I think, was it on your message that you send the time? No, I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, yeah, actually, US and Canada. Yes, yeah, Central Time, US and Canada. So I just thought you were Canadian.
I actually used to live close to Canada, like on the border. There was a lake between the two. I moved south to Tennessee, and then I actually just bought a house out in North Carolina in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So I'm going to move out there in probably like September or October, and super pumped because it's relatively flat here, but I went out there this past weekend and it's like a 3 hour ride is 6,000 feet of climbing, which in meters is like, I think 2,000 meters.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably two. Yeah.
So much different, and I'm 82 to 83 kgs on the day. So it's like pushing some big gear, but still super fun. So, hey, so last question for you, what's you're helping the Devo team. Where are you going? What's your aspirations post pro cycling?
What I want to do now is just make every under 23 rider and even junior rider I'm working with, make them the best rider they can be. And the thing is, now it's those categories, they're becoming more and more important, because when I was, let's say, 21, it was just about turning pro was the next step. And then, you know, you still have time. But now these guys, they're turning pro even younger and younger. So the momentum of their career is super important in the beginning already. So it also means they need to take it seriously already from the gun. You know, it's not about, oh, we will see. And, you know, it's going to be, and as I said already, I try and teach them, they have only one career, and it's the most beautiful time of their life. If they can get everything out of it. So,
especially because it seems like a lot of athletes are getting super specified even within the sport, more so than just all around racers. So you probably see even more like hyper focus on a 15-year-old being like, I'm going to be the next Tony Martin. And somebody else is like, well, I'm only, you know, I'm going to be the climber. And that adds a whole other like spin to how you manage all these. I mean, they're kids at the end of the day. So it keeps you busy, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. But it's super important that they put their own identity in their career, and that they're their dream is their own dream. And as you say, if you want to be the next Tony Martin, then yeah, just fight for it. You know, if it's your dream, then just go for it. But it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be living the dream of your father or whoever. I mean, everybody's is different. And so yeah, we spoke about this actually last week with under 23 riders in a group session, and we asked them what their, you know, what their wildest cycling dream would be, or where they would see them in an ideal world. What would their, you know, what races would they like to win? And it was super nice to hear that everybody had different, you know, one wanted to be world champion, and another one wanted to win Tour of Flanders, and another one wants to win the polka dot jersey, the Tour de France. So they kind of have an idea already of where they want to go. And now they still need to believe that they can do it and fight for it.
Man, that is just like a perfect ending note of how beautiful this sport is, of how many different ways you can be an extreme winner. It's, you know, American football, you win the Super Bowl. And sure, you could be MVP, you could be like, you know, most yards or whatever, but like Tour of Flanders, world champion, the jerseys, like, is just, it's so incredible. Serge, man, we'll end that there. Thank you again so much. I'll we'll probably post this in a couple weeks, and I'll tag you and everything. And how can people in Belgium get in touch with you, or like somebody just wants to say, hey, thanks for coming on? You are active on Instagram, or what's the best way for somebody to follow?
Yeah, my Instagram account is probably the best. Yep, Instagram or Twitter, but Instagram is the best, I think.
Awesome. I'll post it below.
You can find me there.
Hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. And you too. It was nice to be here.
Dude, pleasure.
Good luck
all
with the podcast.
Truly appreciate it. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, Brandon. Bye.
That was freaking awesome. I Serge Powell's on the Evoke podcast. That just happened? Man. What an amazing athlete. What a cool dude. Just shared so many pieces to his puzzle. I really think his view on carbs, his view on his food choices, understanding how complicated nutrition can be, having the training diary, and really just having positive vibes, like enjoying this lifestyle of being a cyclist over 365 days. Serge, this was incredible, man. Can't wait to buy you a coffee someday. And I hope everybody has a great week of training. If you're living in a place where COVID is getting out, I hope you've got some racing coming up. And if you're listening to the podcast on Apple, if you could leave us a 5-star review, if you think we've earned it, we would really, really, really appreciate that. And tell a friend about what we're doing. Just trying to share some experiences. And hope you have a great week in your life. See ya.